Welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities have areas the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. Today we head to Kensington Market in Toronto, where culinary traditions from all corners of the world collide. Originally a Jewish neighbourhood, the area experienced an infusion of immigrants from other regions, from the Azores to the Caribbean. And to help Monocle's Jason Lee navigate the food landscape of Kensington Market, here is Corey Mintz, food columnist for The Globe and Mail, who also lives in the neighborhood.
The reason that I live here is because this is the food center of the city. I lived a few places around town, and over my 20s, as I started cooking for a living, started writing about food for a living, found that I was always making the journey to this neighborhood two or three times a week. And then when I moved probably 10 years ago, I was like, I need to be near Kensington. And then 2 years ago when I bought a home, I was like, I need to be in Kensington.
Kensington Market is one of those places where obviously it's got so many chapters in its history. Mm-hmm. And it's like you have cultural influences layered on top of each other. And when you know where to look, you can kind of see, oh, this obviously had a strong Jewish influence once upon a time, and then maybe more Caribbean influences mm-hmm. as we move closer towards today.
Well, you'll see that mashup as we walk through the neighborhood, because everything really is colliding and on top of each other. You know, the Caribbean corner is right next to the Hawaiian poke place that just opened last week. In terms of the story of the neighborhood, this seemed like the good place to begin, because this is kind of the chronological starting point of the neighborhood. And, you know, as far as this neighborhood goes, you've got all the Jews moving in here, and then post-World War II, when you got more and more Jews coming to Canada, they started heading north and started getting out of this neighborhood. And then you've got waves of immigration, and this neighborhood's always been like a landing pad. You know, near here you've got an Italian neighborhood, a Portuguese neighborhood. Chinatown is right next to us. And of course, all these populations, when they come to the country, they come to the urban center where they can get jobs or they can get homes. And eventually you've got, within a few generations, the Jews moved north, the Italians moved to Woodbridge, the Chinese moved to Markham, and eventually start to populate a suburban new development. And then you get to the point where people tell you, oh, you can't eat the food in the downtown Chinatown, you got to go to Markham, or you got to go for real deli, you got to go to Thornhill, where the real Jewish food is. And, you know, when you walk around the city, I think the consistent thing you'll see is just this design. So you still have, despite the high value of real estate, places like this Sassmart, which is, if you went in there, it's like just an empty kind of old style department store. And it's like, consider how much that piece of land is worth. And there's a store that's like 3,000 square feet sitting empty most days. That's a bit of the overlap. And you can see here, you've got, you know, Vietnamese, fish and chips, hippie dessert store, the Italian luxury goods, Korean grill, all adjacent.
And this is one of the newer entrants in the food scene here.
This is very new. I feel like J&J just opened a few months ago, and they're doing a traditional Texas barbecue. They're popular. They sell out every day. By about 2, they open at noon.
Thank you, guys.
I'm so excited.
Awesome. Everybody like it?
Thank you.
So, a couple of ribs, a couple of sausages,
yeah,
a couple of bites.
Three ribs.
And one sausage?
One sausage would probably do us.
Okay.
You're not going to share a rib.
All right, so what do we have in front of us?
I went for the sausage first.
Mm.
The thing about the sausage is that snap. That snap when you bite into the casing, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really appreciate sausage and barbecue until I went to Texas, and I was all excited about the ribs. I was all excited about the brisket. And then we ordered the hot links, smoked sausages, and it was nice and spicy, and it's more peppery than any other spice. But I was just blown away by the texture and the smoke of it.
The underrated barbecue meat.
Absolutely. It doesn't get enough love. Mm.
And the rib too is amazing. It's firm and succulent and tender at the same time.
It's not patronizing you by falling off the bone when you bite
exactly.
into it. It's got that little tug you want.
Mm-hmm. So Corey, now we've got our fingers greasy. Where have you brought us next?
This is Latin Emporium, or Emporium Latino, which is one of, I think, still three or four Latin grocery stores in the market. And this is the one where in the back they have pupusas, tamales, tacos, gorditas, stuff like that.
Obviously, it's shops like the Latin America Emporium that add to the atmospheric feel and vibe of Kensington Market. And you see a lot of like shops changing and evolving over time. Can you tell me a little bit about like, you know, the evolution of the market?
Well, next to Latin Emporium, you've got Jumbo Empanada. Next to that, you've got Perola's. And I've seen the hands of some of those restaurants change many times. Not restaurant. Perola's is a supermarket. At one point, they had ladies in the back making tamales and stuff. Over my lifetime, I've seen the market change so much. When I was a kid, you could still get a live chicken in this neighborhood. Until people complained, but they didn't like seeing chicken heads being cut off. But it was a Jewish neighborhood until after World War II, and then came just wave after wave of new immigration. And I did this interview with these people who run a taxi company who are really in touch with immigration because that's their labor pool there, and they could chart it. And it was basically like Portuguese and Greek in the 50s, and then Jamaican and Iranian and Indian and Southeast Asian and Vietnamese in the 70s. And in Kensington, it just keeps going, even though, you know, as a property owner around here, I can tell you it's no longer a cheap place to live, but it's still a viable place to trade your goods. You can see right next to us is this, it's sort of called El Gordo, and it's supposed to be like this incubator for different food shops. And right now they've got the churros place. That's the most popular place. That's out front, and the people every day come for the churros cones, which are really blowing up. But within that space, other businesses have launched. They've got like five or six stalls, and there's been, you'll see the Rasta Pasta, they started there. Seven Live Tacos, they started there. I mean, those are the success stories, but there have been a lot of ones that were less successful, but it's still a viable, kind of like a literal, practical, open space expression of the free market.
Hi.
I'm super. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
May we have just a pupusa and a tamale?
And a tamale?
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
What do you want? Beans, cheese, chicken, pork?
I think I'll go for pork.
Pork, please.
And the pupusa?
Yeah, pupusa, same.
Sure. Should we do something else?
Beans?
For variety. Beans, yeah.
Beans.
Bean and cheese?
Thanks.
Forget
about it. Fair.
All right, now we have in front of us, what are these things called?
We got a tamale and a pupusa. And when when I come here for a whole meal, I would get like tamale, pupusa, taco just for myself, but we're pacing ourselves today. So both of them, I mean, they're really reformatting of the same thing, which is the masa, the cornmeal, and the tamale. It's steamed with, we got pork in the center, and the pupusa, it's fried in the flat top with cheese and beans in the center. And we've got, I believe, shredded cabbage, carrots on top with their hot sauce, which is, last I checked, genuinely spicy.
Brilliant. It smells so good. Right, all the spices.
Let's tuck in.
That's one thing about Toronto. You can get really authentic ethnic cuisine here.
This is a place that hasn't changed in the time that I've been either living in or coming to Kensington Market. As much as you can see all the places been to, we'll go to, we'll see on the street, like Latin Emporium has been here since before I was here, and they're going to be here after I've gone.
All right, so now we are right in front of Rasta Pasta. Interesting, Jamaican Italian, not a marriage you think that first springs to mind. Tell me more about it.
It's not a marriage that springs to anyone's mind because I don't think it actually is a thing, despite the fact that I know there's certainly, you know, Italian people in Jamaica. I know a guy who opened a Jamaican Chinese restaurant because he's Jamaican Chinese, so that's a thing. In this case, I believe the story is the guy just liked the name, opened it, and perpetually would tell people, like, we're out of the Italian stuff or it's next door, and eventually just admitted, yeah, it's Jamaican, like, it's just jerk chicken. The jerk chicken is really good, though. He's always out here every day grilling, smoking, and he was the first person who set up on this block that now includes the fried chicken and waffle place, the taco place, and the Mexican sandwich place. And you'll see people come at lunchtime, and when there's a line up here, people will come and just like go to one of the other places.
All right, let's go in.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. May we have one just chicken or rice?
Sure. Rice and peas or jasmine rice?
I think rice and peas.
Or jasmine rice.
Or jasmine rice?
Yes.
Rice and peas.
Coleslaw or steamed vegetables?
Coleslaw, please.
Is that the all for you?
That is everything, yeah.
One size? One rice?
Just one, yeah.
Very tasty. There's so many places in Toronto selling jerk chicken. Why is this so successful?
Location, location, location. I mean, this is the Kensington Market jerk place. There's no reason why this is better than Albert's uptown, but in this neighborhood where you seemingly have one of everything and then something new opens up and you go, oh, I guess we didn't have a Belgian waffle place, do we need one? Or I guess we didn't have a grilled cheese place, do we need one? And sometimes those places pop up and the answer is not really, and sometimes like this one, they pop up and people go like, yeah, jerk chicken, you're great, you're here to stay. And I just think they had no competition and they killed it.
What better way to end a food crawl at Kensington Market than with cocktails, mezcal cocktails at El Rey, to be precise. Before we end our day, Corey, can you tell me a little bit of your thoughts on where the direction Kensington Market is heading towards?
It's a great question, given that we're at, for me, the end of Kensington Market, because we're right at the edge of Dundas here, and I never come down here. It's basically a block from my home, but it's between my home and here is just all secondhand clothing stores. I have no reason to go to this end of the street. And we're at what, you know, I'd call like the new face of Kensington. It's an upscale place, Grant Van Gameren's mezcal, kind of tapas-y place. And it's lovely, but it's definitely a big price point away from the $6 jerk chicken we just have. And you know, the future of the market is, it's a continued fragmentation.
Authenticity is a word that's often used to describe Kensington Market. How does Kensington Market remain authentic?
I was in a meeting with some PR marketing people, and they were shooting this video in the market, and there were one of the guys, he kept referring to the neighborhood as authentic. That was like the only adjective that he used to describe it. I thought, authentically what? You know, what is it staying true to? And that's a conversation we've been having a lot in the food media recently, and I think for good reason, because people jump on this idea of using that word meaning it's true to its spirit, or it's the way it's supposed to be, whereas there's no ways things are supposed to be. You know, either it's good or not. And if you want to make something new, so long as you're not ripping someone off without giving them credit, taking their ideas for your own or making it shittier, then why not go ahead and do your own thing? So long as it tastes good, that's the only important thing. You know, people got upset about the New York Times saying you should put peas in your guacamole because people are like, they have this ownership of guacamole as if it matters, whereas I say, I don't like garlic in guacamole. It's just a matter of taste. It doesn't matter. And the people who want to say you're ruining guacamole because you put peas in it, I mean, at best, they're unimaginative. And worse, they're the same as the people saying that putting women in Ghostbusters costumes is ruining their childhood. Like, there is no Bible of Ghostbusters or guacamole. Make it what you will. And this neighborhood will continue to go in that direction. If something's profitable, it's going to stay. And if it's not profitable, you won't see it in 5 years.
And on that note, I propose a toast to Kensington Market and good food. Cheers.
God bless everyone.
That was Corey Mintz, food columnist of The Globe and Mail, guiding Monocle's Deputy Bureau Chief Jason Lee in Toronto's Kensington Market. That was episode number 8 of Food Neighbourhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Marcus Hippi. Thank you for listening and goodbye.